exciting episode today.
Mm-hmm.
And to open, I figured, look, we're not going to talk about Godzilla for probably a while.
Probably.
Before we have a reason to bring him up. And we've talked about doing this before. So I think the best way to open this episode...
No.
No.
...is for each of us to do our best Godzilla
what?
Script.
No!
I'll go first. And then you can... Unless you want to go first.
I don't want to even do it at all. I listened to another podcast where they did this. It was the worst thing I've ever listened to.
But also the best thing, maybe?
No.
Alright, are you ready? Are you ready for mine?
Why would you do this to me? I'm going home.
Are you ready?
No.
It's not going to be good.
I don't want to hear it.
That's what I got.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Do you want to give it a shot?
Yeah, sure, okay. Okay.
Not bad.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
I thought that was going to go a lot worse, yeah. But I think it went all right.
Not bad. Yeah. Pretty right. Close.
Theme song.
I guess I've told you about my condition.
Only every time I see it.
If you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster, you say.
Now say my name.
I am Iron Man.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Screen Time Podcast. I'm Connor.
And I'm Luke.
And today, we are talking about Legendary's Legendary Multiverse. Nope. Monsterverse. There we go.
Yes, the Monsterverse.
Talking about 5 movies and 2 shows.
Yep.
We will be talking about Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
Mm-hmm.
We may reference it in discussing it. When discussing the other movies, but we won't spoil anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get to that movie at the end,
yep,
we'll do non-spoilers and then spoilers because it is pretty new.
Yep.
Everything else that we talk about, we will be spoiling.
Yes.
Because it's been out long enough.
Yeah.
That we don't feel
correct.
The need to be careful.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Anything you want to say before we start?
No, I think I'll just get to it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's start with 2014's Godzilla.
Yes. Yes.
What do you got?
Okay. So, I love this movie, if I'm being completely real with you. Here's the thing about all of these, is that I had a ranking, right? Before I watched them, I'm like, oh, this is easily the ranking. And then as I watched each one, I was like, oh, this is a completely different ranking. And then in the end, the ranking turned out to be more or less the same. But I just love all of them more this time. It was weird. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great.
I agree. I remember watching the trailers for this movie. And specifically the one where it's the guys doing the halo jump. And it's cloudy and it's the red smoke falling.
That scene
and it's that,
so good.
That scene, that shot from really far away and you're just watching them all fall down together.
With the music from 2001. That was fun. Because I watched that before, watching this, like, I hadn't watched it before, and then I was like, oh my gosh, that's the music from the end of 2001.
And then in the trailer, you just get a glimpse of, like, the spikes on Godzilla's mm-hmm. back through the clouds, and that's, like, the whole trailer, and it's like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And even that shot in the movie, where it is, like, just Godzilla fighting a Muto,
mm-hmm.
but like, also in the clouds,
and
you just get a glimpse of it. That's really
it's
cool.
So nice. My favorite shot in the entire movie is like in, I think it's in like Chinatown, is I think where it was, or that area.
Yeah.
When it's like just the smoke and it's the piano hit when Godzilla's tail just goes through the smoke.
Yeah.
And then he comes out of the smoke and does the long roar at the Muto. It's just so cool. I've an active part of the Godzilla, you know, fan community is it's an interesting There's lots of interesting opinions about the Monsterverse from lots of different fans, and I've heard a lot of love toward this movie as well as like a lot of hate. But I just love the way Gareth Edwards like shoots this movie, like and how he decides to show the monsters. And the biggest complaint that I've heard a lot is like, oh, there's not enough Godzilla.
But that's my favorite part.
That's my favorite movie. Part of the movie too. Is like they're like, oh, it's more of a Muto movie than a Godzilla movie. I'm like, kind of, sure. You see a lot more of them, but they're also really cool.
I hadn't watched this for a few years, and it took me a minute to realize that a lot of this monster stuff that you're watching at the beginning is not Godzilla stuff.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, he doesn't show up. I checked the time in the movie. Like, you see, like, the footage during the credits, but he doesn't show up in the movie till 55 minutes in. And it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why a lot of people are mad about that, but I love it. Especially because it starts, and, like, you see, like, the thing tunnel out of it and go into the sea. You're like, oh, that's Godzilla.
Yeah.
That's so cool, right? Oh, my gosh, we're setting up. And you see this, and they're doing with the monster and the nuclear reactor meltdown and everything. Like, it's Godzilla. That's so cool. And then
obviously.
Yeah, and then they, like, all right, kill the thing with the electricity, which was the stupidest thing they could have done because that's actually what, you know, woke it up. But that's cool. And then it's like, what the heck is that? That is not Godzilla. But I love... I know a lot of people also are upset, and I guess this will come up more throughout the MonsterVerse.
Yeah.
But they're like, if it's a legendary kaiju and not a Toho kaiju, I don't care. It's stupid. And I'm just like, bro, it's a cool monster. What, like... But I love the Mutos. They're...
I think the biggest negative to them is that they don't give them, like, an actual name. Like, it's just Muto, which is kind of the blanket state. Like, that's their version of kaiju.
Yeah.
And it's like, it would have been cooler if you...
It would have been.
Had some name. But
the thing is, also, that is their name.
Yeah.
Right? Like, making this first movie, the Muto, and then, like, with the acronym, and that's, like... This is the first movie, and this is the first time they've ever used this, right? Yeah. But then they use it in the rest of the movies, and then they, which makes it now like, oh, that's just there. Just label. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. But I think my biggest complaint about this movie is that, and I guess it's a stupid complaint because all these movies do it, some more than others, but like, there's a lot of like, very obvious exposition, right? Like, I like a lot of the human stuff in this movie. I'll be honest. Yeah. I really enjoy it. Especially, like, the first, I don't know, 30-ish minutes. Whenever Bryan Cranston dies, everything before that is, like, I think it's just, it's perfect.
Yeah. You
know, I love it so much. And then after that, it kind of, like, slows down. But it's I still enjoy it. But there's a lot of, like, military guys just talking. And you're like, wow. Like, text-to-speech, like, like, exposition. But you're like, it's okay. It's like that kind of characterization of military people.
Yeah.
Where you're like, they're all just like super serious. They're just like, all right, this is what's going on. This is happening. Which is the humans in all of these movies. They're here to tell us what's going on with the kaiju. I know.
And this is not the worst that it gets.
Oh, this is probably... Oh, no. I wouldn't say it's the best of that. But it's up there. It's not... It's far from the worst of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad as it goes along. But that's okay.
I remembered... thinking more negatively about Bryan Cranston dying so early in the movie and him not being the focal point. And I think maybe a complaint was that they advertised him so heavily in the trailers and then going in with the expectation of him being your point character, and then he's gone 30 minutes in, you're like, oh, I kind of don't like that. But watching it now with, like, you know, gap of time to soften the blow, it did to me feel like more of a passing of the torch and perhaps making it a little more interesting, because Brian kind of had a lot of the answers ready to go, but then he dies. So now his son's trying to figure out what's going on with just like some clues, because he was kind of listening sometimes, but mostly not. And now he's like, oh no, he was actually spot on and like right about everything, and now I'm trying to like rack my mind for all the things I wasn't listening to.
And I love that he's just a kaiju magnet.
Like
every place he goes with the military, like a kaiju will show up like 20 minutes later, and it's like, man, you just gotta like find like some secluded place because you're just a danger to everybody.
It's also super crazy watching this movie with Aaron Taylor Johnson and Elizabeth Olsen.
That's true.
This is like the movie they did right after this was Avengers Age of Ultron. So this movie is like right before they got super famous and started doing a ton. Like, they haven't confirmed it yet, at least at time of recording, but like Aaron Taylor Johnson's currently in talks to be the next James Bond.
Oh yeah, I heard like, about
that's,
that.
Like, he's also doing Kraven the Hunter, which I'll try to forgive him for. We'll also see if it's a good movie. Probably not. But he was really good in Bullet Train.
Yeah.
And some of the other stuff he did. But this was after he did, like, Kick-Ass and mm-hmm. was, like, a kid.
Yeah.
And this was, like, that transition. And then he did Quicksilver, and
yeah.
Hollywood was like, all right, we got you.
It's your time.
And Elizabeth Olsen had done, like, a couple movies. Mm-hmm. Like, she did Old Boy before this. And she had done...
That was a while before this.
A year before this.
Old Boy was 2003. No. 2013.
The other one.
I mixed it up.
And then in 2011, she had done one that she's really known for. Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about, though.
I may have gotten two of those names mixed up. But then again, she did Age of Ultron after this. And took off. Yeah. So it's interesting seeing them kind of like right mm-hmm. as they're about to get really famous and successful.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. Although it is the awkward thing where it's like, oh, you guys are a couple in this. But I know you more as
brother and sister
in the Marvel movies. Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the one movie. Sad. But yeah.
It's true. I'll get over it.
It's okay. Yeah, well, and the thing with that is also, like, the directors, and, like, of all of these movies, you look at, like, what they've done, you know, before this, they didn't really, like, do anything, which I think is kind of cool, because, like, it was, like, legendary being like, alright, like, they're taking a chance on all of the directors, which I think is pretty fun.
And something that really shines through a lot in this, and I think it's really good in the creator as well, with
Gareth Edwards,
is he does scale so well.
He does.
Like, these monsters feel big.
Yeah.
And, like...
And I think this is the best of, like, that, of all the monsters,
in terms of that. And, like, you talked about that scene where, like, the tail swings through the fog.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, that's
that's there. A big boy.
That's, yeah. That's tall.
Yeah.
And I like how, like, slow they move because they're so big. And watching that fight in San Francisco at the end is crazy. But it also... And look, I'm going to lay a little bit of my cards on the table here. I think Godzilla fire vomiting into the Muto's mouth and chopping his head off is the coolest kill in any of these movies.
I agree. Easily. And like the first time he uses the atomic breath. Okay, so this was my first Godzilla movie. So that also might be why it holds a special place in my heart, you know. But I didn't know much about Godzilla besides like what the general public knows, like he's a Japanese property, right? You know, he's the monster that walks through Tokyo.
Yeah,
like that's what everyone knows, right? And I like had seen like pictures and stuff, so I like kind of knew about the atomic breath, but I wasn't really sure what it was, and I wasn't really thinking about it.
Yeah,
and then it was like the tail started to light up, and I'm like, oh my goodness! It was the most mind blowing thing I've ever watched, because I'm like, I know about that from a picture. I didn't know that was real. That's so awesome, and that's got to be like one of the coolest. Not the coolest, I think minus one takes that, but that's got to be one of the coolest like atomic breath sequences out there. And I said minus one, I'm not going to be comparing these movies to minus one, I just want to let you know that. I was just talking about atomic breath sequences.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
And it is I like the sound that they do, the vroom vroom
vroom vroom vroom. So cool, so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's very sweet.
You know what? Good movie.
Good movie. I want to talk about one thing. I laugh every single time this scene happens, because it's so dumb, but it's okay. I'm not mad about it. I think it's funny. Is they go to Vegas, right? And they have to get to Vegas, right? You know, so there's like helicopters, whatnot, and there's the trucks going and everything. And then they go into the facility, and then they're like, oh my gosh, they're checking all the lights to see if it escaped anywhere. And then they see the one that, cage or whatever, that has the light shine through, like, oh my goodness. And they look out, and it's just... out of this mountain, there's just this giant chunk out of the mountain. I'm like, how did none of you see that when you were rolling up to the facility? That's okay. But then it's a shot of the guy looking through the binoculars, right? And he's like, left, right. Oh, back. What is that? And then the big, like, how did you miss that? The giant monster walking into the city.
Yeah.
I love it. It's funny. I just laugh every time that happens.
It was fun, too, because I just went to Vegas, like, a month ago.
Yeah.
And so seeing the Strip destroyed, and I'm like, I went to all those places before they were destroyed. Also, one of those hotels, the the Tropicana, kind of near the end, on the day that this comes out, will have been taken down yesterday.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So now Godzilla is officially a time capsule of the time when Tropicana was still standing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We're talking about the beginning of this movie. This is one of my favorite, title card sequences of, like, any movie ever. It's just so chilling. Like, it's, like, the beginning credits, I love them so much.
Yeah.
They're so good. And the music is awesome. But, it's, like, the nuclear explosion and then just, like, the, like, faint Godzilla logo with, like, the dust over it. And
yeah.
And it goes to the,
like, Yes.
It's just so good. So good.
And I wish I would have looked it up before to see if there were any good ones. But I think it's really cool that as they put the names of the cast, and this isn't like a bunch of them, as they put the names of the cast and crew, there's like document text.
Yeah.
Like it's
redacted.
But if you were to like pause it right at the beginning, you could see what it says.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of them now, but some of them are kind of funny.
I haven't read them before this. That's cool though. I'll look into it. Yeah. Also, talking about the cinematography, because cinematography is my favorite part of this movie, if I'm just going to be real.
Yeah.
That's why I love this movie so much, is the shot when Godzilla, like, falls in the city, and, like, the camera goes sideways. So it looks like it's, like, a vertical shot, but just flipped. So, like, the point of view of Ford Brody in the boat, and I'm like, it looks so good. I love it so much.
It's a good-looking movie.
It is. And it has the best ending, is that just Godzilla just goes back in the water. That's just the perfect Godzilla movie ending, I'm just saying. Just goes back in the water, that's what has to happen.
Yeah.
Beautiful, though.
And he's still alive.
Yep.
In the Godzilla movies that I've seen, it's not a common occurrence. He dies a lot in the ones that I've seen.
Yeah, just all the ones that you've seen, that's weird. Just all the ones you've seen, he dies pretty much. That's fun. Some ways better than others.
That's true. That's very true.
This one doesn't get... my favorite part, though, is that Godzilla 1998, gets caught on, like, the suspension bridge, and, like, in the ropes and everything, and then he gets missiles, and that's how he dies. And this Godzilla just, like, smashes right through the bridge. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, it's so good. Anyway,
Ready to move on?
Yeah. Good movie.
Let's move on to Kong, Skull Island, which tonally could not be more different.
Very, very different.
Than the previous movie. They're like, what if we made this, hear me out, really really silly and really funny?
Yeah.
And they're like, that might just work.
And you know what? It does.
Yeah. I have like one complaint with this movie, and it's like half a complaint.
What?
I wish that the first time that we saw Kong was when the helicopters fly in and are bombing and then he takes them out. I'm like, ugh. Like, that would have been a cooler reveal than him showing up 2.5 minutes in and looking at the two pilots having their fight on the mountain. I get why they did it, but it just would have been a little bit nicer to have the different reveal.
Because they could have had, like, something else, like a different monster show up when they're fighting, or you don't even need a monster, but I mean, it's kind of like have them setting in the
middle of their fight, tension, title card, and then you find out what happens later.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
You can even flash back to that if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love... So King Kong, right?
Yes.
Classic. He climbs the Empire State Building and then gets killed by the planes, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Spoiler alert for a different movie, but
that's almost 100
years ago. You're fine. I love that it starts with, like, the Warner Brothers logo and everything. It's all, like, the metal.
Yeah.
And then you hear, like, the plane shooting, and it's just a good callback, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's also, like, World War II, like, they're fighters, right? But it's also, there's a lot of callbacks to the other King Kong movies in this, and I should enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, him fighting the giant octopus. I'm like, I know what you guys are referencing. And now you know what they're referencing.
I do.
It's sweet.
And man, that octopus does not last long.
No.
I really like the creature design in this movie.
Oh, it's so cool.
Because there's so many.
I know.
So many great monsters. And all of them have, like, their own unique feel. Yeah. Like, there's one scene where they're, like, walking through, like, what seems like bamboo trees.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, this is a spider with really long legs.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And the skull crawlers, I think that design is really cool.
Oh, they're so cool looking.
I think Kong looks really great. The kind of wildebeest with, like, all the moss, like, hanging off of it.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
I like the look of this movie.
Yeah. They were going to put in the ant that John C. Reilly was referencing, because they just, like, had a bunch of just outtakes of him saying random things, and that's the one they went with. But it would have been too much money to make an entire new sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's surprisingly good in this movie.
I love him so much.
Like, he's very chaotic, and it feels like, man, this is on the verge of not working, but on that verge, it works really well.
Yeah. I'm going to stab you by the end of the night.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah, am I?
It's like, what? He's clearly crazy, and I love it.
Actually, you know what? I like the whole cast of this movie.
Me too, honestly. They're great.
And you know what? Like, Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, Sam Jackson, you know, John Goodman, cool.
Yeah.
But honestly, I can't deny how much I really enjoy those stupid soldiers.
Same, man. It's like, who told you that, Cole?
You guys are the dumbest. I don't know how you guys survived Vietnam. Yeah. Honestly, I'm surprised that most of you made it as far to the movie as you did.
Yeah.
And the biggest laugh out loud moment that I remember so vividly watching this movie the first time is when Shea Whigham is going to sacrifice himself to the big scar crawler. Mm-hmm. So he grabs this the grenade. This
is the dumbest movie death ever.
And he pops up and he's like, come on. And this is almost the serious, like, we're almost serious. Like, this is like a sacrifice play. And then, boom, and he gets tail whipped into the mountain, blows up over there.
Yeah.
He's done effectively nothing.
Especially because he's like, I'll buy you guys time, run away. And they all stop and watch him die. Yeah. It's like nothing happened. He was just like, you know what? I'm kind of tired. I'm done.
Oh, I also love him eating like a can of beans in the wreckage after all helicopters go down. And they're like, dude, like a giant monkey just took us out. What are we going to do? He's like, I'm hungry. Like, I got to eat.
Yeah.
We'll deal with tomorrow's issues tomorrow. Also, Sam Jackson
is great.
Unbelievable in this movie. One of my favorite things is, and you have to do this, like, unseriously. If you ever do this, like
mm-hmm.
straight-faced, doesn't work. But, like, when a human stares at a monster and is like, you will be my arch nemesis. Yeah. Like, I am coming for you. It's like, there's no fight there. There is no chance that you're coming out on top.
Yeah.
But it is so funny that you think that's how this is gonna go.
Yeah. I'll talk about the sequence in the grave area.
Yeah.
I forgot that John Goodman died. completely. Because, and this is getting into Monarch, but, like, he shows up at the beginning, like, the opening scene.
Yeah.
And I thought, because it had been so long since I'd watched this movie, I thought that this was, like, he went back to Skull Island after. Yeah. I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting, but yeah, all right, cool. And then in Monarch, when they're talking about him, I'm like, why didn't we ever get to see, like, any of this? And, man, watching Skull Island again after watching Monarch, I also have more stuff to talk about when we get to Monarch in Bill Randa's character that I was too dumb to realize, but it was crazy, like, watching Skull Island after, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so they talk about this in Monarch, and this is actually why he wanted to go to Skull Island. This is brilliant. I just loved it. It was great. Obviously, they weren't thinking about that when they made Skull Island, it's cool that they connected it after.
Yeah,
it's pretty sweet. But,
man, a lot of these people go out like chumps, though.
They do.
She's like, well, a big action sequence, like, man, we're really holding our own. And then someone just gets eaten. Not even a fight. Not even like a big, like, manly, like, oh, as he goes, just, you're gone. You're done.
You're done. Yeah. My favorite thing, though, is they have the flamethrower. And they're just lighting up this skull crawler. And it's doing nothing. And then they have one lighter. And a little explosion from the lighter, and the skull crawler is like burned.
Done.
And he's done. And I'm like, so how did that. What?
I like that Tom Hiddleston's just like, hey, whatever John C. Reilly's doing, give me your sword. And, like, we've never seen him use anything like this at all. We, like, why would you know how to use a samurai sword? Doesn't matter, because he takes out, like, 14 creatures.
Yeah. But it's awesome.
It is awesome.
So sweet. Also, okay, I think that we talk about, and I think everyone, really, that I've heard talk about opinions doesn't ever, like, diss the cinematography of Godzilla 2014.
No.
It's great. But also, I've never heard anyone talk about the cinematography of this movie. This movie's beautiful.
Good-looking movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah, good-looking movie, yeah.
It's a pretty cool opening shot, too, where it's just the sky.
Yeah.
And you're like, what could we be looking at? What is that? Oh, it's someone falling into the camera. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, how did you survive that, dude? I don't care.
Yeah.
My wife was there for, like, the first 15 minutes, and she's like, is this a serious movie? And I went, you tell me. And she's like, no. No. No, it can't be serious. I'm like, you're 100% correct.
Yeah.
It can't be.
But this movie's such a blast. My goodness.
It's so much fun.
And, like, really, there's not a point where I'm like, can we not be looking at the humans right now? Yeah. Can we, like, because you think that a lot with some of these movies. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that in, like, a couple minutes now. But
yeah.
Anyway, but with this one, I'm just, like, I'm just enjoying, like, watching the humans. And then I get to see some incredible action, by the way. This movie's so action-packed, and it's awesome. And I love... And okay, here's another thing. Is that I'm not, you know, like, completely against meta-humor or completely for meta-humor.
Yeah.
But I will, for some reason, always enjoy in a monster movie when they make fun of naming monsters. Like, with Shin Ultraman, where he's like, who names them? He's like, oh, that guy just comes up with them. Thinks they sound cool. I'm like, that's great. And this one, he's like, call them Skullcrawlers. Because sounds neat. That's the entire reason. I'm like, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Just enjoy it.
It does sound neat. It's a very cool name.
It is cool. Yeah.
I really like watching Kong fight. In all the sequences.
Yes.
It's something that just fascinates me about the character of King Kong. Is, like, how he uses things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not always like, all right, let's time to fight. Left and right punch. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Right? He was throwing trees at some point. He, like, grabs a tree and, like, rips all the branches off and uses it like that. Yeah.
I love the chains with the
motor wheel.
The motor wheel thing. My brain is not working, but yeah, those things.
Yeah, and uses that. That was really cool. I just find that aspect really interesting, and I thought they did that really well. And I like that, like, every fight feels separate. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, all right, let's get back into it, and here we go again. It's, oh no, this is a new thing. Right? Like, watching him take out a couple skull crawlers, and you wouldn't guess that when he fights the last one, he's gonna rip out all of its insides.
Yeah.
Which
'kay.
Looks awesome.
It looks awesome, but also, like, here's the thing. He's holding a person in his hand.
Yeah. He's got a really strong thumb.
Yeah, like, how did he... There's no way she wasn't crushed.
No way.
but I don't care. It's great.
But if that had happened in Godzilla 2014, you'd be like, I need an explanation.
Yeah.
In this movie, the absurdity is so far gone. It's like, you know what? That checks out.
Yeah,
we're
good.
Also,
I'm very happy that Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson don't kiss in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, don't make them like a romantic interest. And then they didn't. I was like, good.
I'm a big fan of just people being buds.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's all... I'm not going to hang on this, but there's all that talk of Star Wars between Rey and Finn and Poe, and two of them should be together, and should there be a love triangle? Like, why can't they just hang out and have a good time, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just hang out. Let's just have a good time. Let's be buds.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, someone's got to kiss.
Yeah. No, but I love this movie. And also, Henry Jackman did this score, and it's just great.
I don't think I realized earlier how many different people did the scores for this movie, and I think it's cool because it also you were talking about how, like, everyone brings like their own interpretation into it.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, these movies are a franchise, but it also feels like we're getting different
perspectives
each time.
Each movie does feel like a very different tone. Yeah. No matter if it's silly or serious, it feels like it's a different take on that than the last one. And even when one director did two of them, they still feel pretty different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, the soundtrack in this movie is just great. Like,
it is.
Like, the licensed music, the needle drops.
Yeah.
They're just awesome. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Good movie.
Good movie. Ready to move on?
Yeah.
To Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yes. What do you think about this movie?
I think it's all right.
Yeah.
You know what? I started off with my complaint in the last one. I'll do it here, too. My biggest issue with this movie is I feel like Godzilla's down, like, legitimately down for the count too many times. For it to call it King of the Monsters and for him to end as the king, he got a lot of help to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, obviously it'd be so boring if he just won every fight with one punch, mm-hmm. right? Or just use his breath and cut someone in half. But, like, he fights Ghidorah, and then he's, like, out, and he's, like, taking a nap in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, he's recharging. Okay, we'll leave him. And they're like, no, it's going to take him years. So we need Ken Watanabe to go and blow himself up.
Yeah.
Okay, so then now he's charged, and then he goes to fight him again, and then he gets knocked down again, and then Mothra has to be like, here's all my life force, so that he can come back again to do the final fight.
Which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
And I was like, I wish that there was a little less of that. Or, like, in Kong, like, he's not winning every fight easily. Like, he bleeds a lot in that movie, and he gets attacked a lot, mm. and he gets knocked down, but he never, like, he's never loses a fight. Right? He just kind of gets knocked down and then finds, like, the will to come back and then wins the fight. And I wish that there had been maybe a little more of that in this movie than Godzilla actually getting taken out. And then other people having to bring him back.
Yeah, that's fair. Where I'm coming from, it's how insanely epic the action is. And I love the monsters in this movie.
Yeah.
Like in Antarctica, when Godzilla comes in and like his tail slaps down to like the music going with his tail going up. And then he just blasts the atomic breath. And then he just tackles him. And I'm just like, I love this so much. And then it comes to the humans, and I'm like, wow. But, that's... yeah.
I don't know.
So the thing with this one is we have, like, a wide, like, spectrum of human drama in this movie, right? Is our main good guys or whatever on the boat who are just tracking Godzilla. All they do is track Godzilla in this movie. That's just what they do. They just follow him, right?
Yeah.
They're all, like, exist. They're not really, like... awful, right? Like, you don't watch them and go, like, I hate this movie so much. Like, these guys suck so much. But they're just, like, they're not like, wow, this is really fun. You're just like, wow, can we just get to the monsters?
There is a little bit of looking at your watch and going, how many more minutes are we going to go through this?
Yeah. But they're, like, they just exist. And there's not really any, like, positive or negative emotions, like, associated with that group. However, then we get, like, Emma Russell in that story. I'm like, wow, you are the worst.
That's the mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate this. This is not good, but that's okay. Because as a Godzilla fan, and I like speak to my biases, is Godzilla fights monsters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's dope. So the movie ends, and I'm like, happy, you know? Like, I'm like, I came for the monster fights. I got the monster fights, and I'm just happy. And it's just epic. And also, like, a lot of, like, the director of this one, like, clearly cares about, like, and, like, loves Godzilla and, like, the franchise history, which is really fun to, like, notice all the different Easter eggs and whatnot. Yeah. And, like, Godzilla falls down in this movie. Like, he falls down the hole, you know what I'm saying, in Antarctica. Yeah. And I'm just like, that's perfect, Godzilla, because Godzilla just falls down holes. He's just something that he's always done. And I'm like, thank you for doing that. That's that's sweet, actually. And I'll talk about more of callbacks when we get to the other movies, too,
because
that's sweet. But... And I love that he charges up with an epic sequence to get King Ghidorah, and then King Ghidorah just moves his head. It doesn't do anything. But I'm like, that's okay. Yeah.
Him taking out Ghidorah, though, by eating his neck with the head somehow still alive and freaking
that,
out.
That doesn't make any sense.
And then he fire breathes, atomic breathes through the head. And, like, just, look, it's really stupid, but it's also very cool.
It's awesome.
And the coolness does outweigh the stupid.
Yeah. It was very, very, like... See, I don't want to say this one was, like... It's not really... I don't know if I would put it on the silly end of the MonsterVerse. Not the serious end, but, like...
It... Yeah.
It's trying to be somewhere in the middle, and I think sometimes it doesn't work, but I think with the monsters it does, so it's cool.
Tonally, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like, this is very serious, and like, we've developed this technology that can control the monsters, and like, very serious.
Yeah.
And then they're like, my god. And then Jake Peralta's dad goes, Zilla.
Which, by the way, that results in either me or my sister, anytime anyone says that in anything, we just finish with Zilla.
Yeah.
It's perfect. But yeah. So, yeah, it's...
But yeah, you're balancing, like, Ken Watanabe, who's very straight-faced, yes, and very serious. And then Jake Peralta's dad, who's, like, cracking every joke he can at every opportunity.
Yeah.
And you kind of get everyone in between there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not really sure how I'm supposed to feel at any given moment in this movie, specifically when the humans are on screen.
Yeah, I have a question for you. Did you know that the Dr. Oh, shoot. Lynn? I can't remember. The girl who's, like, talking about Mothra all the time?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, is, like, the same in a different person from the boat than at the Mothra facility? Like, because she's there and she, like, takes off her hood, right? And looks at Mothra.
Okay.
Did you know that those are two separate people? Or did you think they were the same person, or you just not even realize?
I don't know that I was thinking about that.
Because the first time I watched it, I was like, how the heck did you get over here? And then, yeah, I was like, oh, because they're twins. Which I... This is why I want a Mothra movie. It's because they show the twin thing, because Mothra has twin fairies. That's Mothra's thing. And they sing, which awakens Mothra. And, like, her like, family is all, like, female twins. Like, her mom is a twin and her grandma's a twin. And, like, forever. And so that if she ever has kids, she'll have female twins and everything. And that's kind of like the... It just keeps going down, because they're, like, Mothra's keepers or whatever, which is sweet. But... They're just there, and they, like, never do anything with that in this movie. And I'm like, well, you showed us a picture, briefly. And that's the thing. But I love Mothra, because Mothra's, like, one of my favorites. So that's also why this movie I love so much, because Mothra's in it. And the music is so epic.
All right, I got a question for you.
Yes.
He comes out of the water.
Godzilla?
Yeah. And they play the theme from, like, the OG Godzilla movie. How did you feel about that?
I love it.
I felt, look, for me, I felt a little, I don't know, because it was just, it's the exact thing, right? And I went, because that Godzilla and this Godzilla are very different.
Which are you, like, thinking of, like, the, or the, because there's, like, those two parts. Because it plays both.
Yeah,
because it...
When he comes out of the water.
Yeah. I really liked, like, what Bear McCreary did with that theme. Because it's a little different and more heroic. But then he does, like, look at them and then he plays, like, the menacing theme.
Yeah.
Which is still, like, he's still a jerk, though.
It just... Because in King of the Monsters, right? Like, he's fighting to become the king.
Mm-hmm.
But in the old one, he's just a terrorist. And I was like, I don't know about that. But then, jumping ahead a little bit, like, in Godzilla vs. Kong, they, like, take the theme, but, like, and kind of use, like, the essence of it. Like, if you listen to it, you're like, oh, you're going for the original theme there, but you're kind of changing it up to make it something different, and that I felt more okay with, more than them just dropping it into...
Okay, I love that we're talking about this now, because this is probably, like... I've heard so many things. Okay, so... the music in King of the Monsters, I love it. I think it's insanely epic, and I'm just happy to hear it, you know? And I like using the original themes, especially what I'm the happiest with is that they use Mothra's theme. Mm. And anyway, because Mothra's theme is like, here's the thing about Godzilla's theme, is you have... Even over in the Japanese movies, not everyone uses the original theme.
I looked it up. It was quite a few years before they reused that, the one that I was talking about, right?
Yeah. Like, so, like...
They came up with, like, Godzilla's March, I think they called it, that they used for a bunch, versus Godzilla main theme.
Yeah, I think that's probably the same song. But, yeah, it's, like, because anyone that, like, Akira Ifukube did, he used his theme, obviously, because that was his music.
Yeah.
And it works for every single time that they've used it. But I also have something about that. Someone said something about minus one, which is fun. But anyway, so, like, I think it's fun when we get different Godzilla themes for different, like, iterations of the character.
Yeah.
And even when we do that, usually they might, like, play, like, an homage to his theme, like, for, like, one scene if he's, like, just drawing something. And it's like, oh, that's sweet. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Minus One did that, too. Oh, they did it the best that any other movie has done.
I would agree.
But at least I read somewhere, because someone... The music of Godzilla in the MonsterVerse is very, like, divisive. Like, I don't know why, but it's one of the most divisive parts of the MonsterVerse.
I feel like a lot of Godzilla in the MonsterVerse is
it's divisive. But, like, especially the music, because they're, like... There's the people who, like, Bear McCreary use the theme better than anyone ever has. And then I was reading, I was just going through comments, you know what I'm saying? It's just fun to do that sometimes. And someone was like, name someone else who used the theme better. He's like, what about Godzilla Minus One? He's like, yeah, Godzilla Minus One used the theme, but it was so, it didn't fit any scene that it was in. And the music was so bad in that movie. I'm like, okay, you're just an idiot. What? But here's the thing is, this is what I heard, because we're talking about Godzilla vs. Kong now. And I feel like this might be a good transition. But we'll see.
And I'm good done. If you want to swap.
Yeah, okay, sure. But, so with King of the Monsters, right? And the guy said, Bear McCreary was the only composer in the MonsterVerse with the balls, and I'm not paraphrasing, this is what he said, with the balls to use Godzilla's original theme. And Tom Holkenborg, that's why he sucks. Because he made a dollar store version of the theme, and he doesn't respect Godzilla. And we should just get him out of here. And I was like, whoa. Okay, first of all, neither Bear McCreary nor Tom Holkenborg were in charge of whether they used the original theme or not. It was whether Legendary wanted to pay the rights to use the theme.
Yeah.
In King of the Monsters, they did. In Godzilla vs. Kong, they didn't. So Tom Holkenborg couldn't use it, so he had to make his own theme, which I honestly like. Like,
I think it sounds pretty good.
They don't use it at all in Godzilla 2014, and the music in that movie is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Godzilla vs. Kong. I love the music in this movie. It's so insanely epic. And Tom Holkenborg is just... just makes epic scores, you know?
Yeah.
But they're just always like, wow, it's insanely epic.
Was he credited as Tom Holkenborg, or did he do it under...
Tom Holkenborg.
Junkie XL.
Tom.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Took a long time, but these guys finally got to be in the same movie together.
It was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what? Let's start with some fun. The human characters. There are so freaking many in this movie.
Yeah. It's a... of varying quality.
Yes. and there's kind of like different teams going around. Mm-hmm. I'll say this. When I watched it the first time, I think I found Brian Tyree Henry.
Bernie.
The most annoying out of him and the two kids. I believe that it is the kid from Deadpool 2, Julian Dennison.
I agree.
I
think that entire storyline sucks, by the way. I was going to say that. I don't like any of it.
I think that it's really... You know, I talked about the Kong reveal happening too early in Kong Skull Island. Why would you show us Mechagodzilla, like, really early in this movie?
Yeah, they're like, what's that? It's...
And, like, if it had just been, like, Godzilla attacks the facility... And you see, like, the red orb, and then you don't see it again till Mechagodzilla comes up to fight them.
Yeah.
I can live with that. But you see them test him, and he, like, fights monsters.
Yeah.
And the facility is like, this is... Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. You could get rid of that entire plot line, and the movie would be, like, no worse off without it, you know? Yeah. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh, you don't get this, you wouldn't understand, No, we saw Godzilla attack facility. See the thing, right? Apex, you can show that a bit, right? Not like inside Apex, you don't need to do that. But like that they exist and what they're doing and they want to like protect humanity and stuff. And then, I don't know. Or just do more stuff with Ren. Sarazawa, who is just the most wasted character in the entire MonsterVerse.
He was certainly in the movie a little bit.
Yeah, like... what a wasted character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't like Godzilla because he feels like his father favored Godzilla as, like, a son over him. And I'm like, that was not in the movie at all. Not even a little bit. You don't get any of that.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I also like that the bad guy from King of the Monsters, I don't remember his name in real life, but the actor was like, I don't want to do another one of these. So they're like...
Fair enough.
Walter Simmons, the head of Apex Technology. That's who's the bad guy now.
Which I was okay with. not having him return, because I didn't like any of that in King of the Monsters.
Fair enough.
But also, Walter Simmons is
awful.
Nothing, anyway, so
yeah. Although, it was kind of fun watching him die.
Yeah.
When everyone's like, oh, Mechagodzilla's turning around, something's gonna happen, and he's in the middle of his evil monologue. Alright, I can roll with this.
Yeah.
Why is Kyle Chandler in this movie?
Man, I don't know.
He's literally at the beginning to be like, Maddie, you can't do anything. Stay home and stay safe. And then she gallivants around the planet, and then at the end, he's in Hong Kong, I guess.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, my daughter, I love you. And I'm like, I mean, that's nice, I guess.
But yeah.
But you did not need to be... You could have shown up at the end of the movie just for her to be like, yeah, my dad's still alive.
Yeah. I have a question. How do people know who Emma Russell is? Because she wasn't, like, public announcing anything or anything. And she was, like, wasn't a public figure. She was with the secret organization.
Gosh, I don't
know. And everyone's like, who was Emma Russell? You're Emma Russell's daughter. I'm like, how does anyone know who you are?
Bernie, I can maybe understand because he was reading all these.
Yeah, maybe Bernie going into it. But like, it's like the mass, like the general public knows who Emma Russell is. I'm like, I don't.
Also, she wasn't very interesting in the last movie. We don't need to keep bringing her up.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? There's one human character that I think is actually pretty good.
Who?
I don't remember the actress's name, but she plays Gia, the deaf kid. Yeah. Connects with Kong.
Yes.
You know what? It's actually not that bad. It's pretty good, I'll say.
No, yeah, I'd agree.
Especially looking at, like, kid performances. And we got two kid performances by older kids in the movie.
Yeah.
That are a lot worse than her.
Yeah.
And I thought that they filmed around, like, her deafness really well.
Yeah.
Like, they never, like, they're not like, oh, here is Gia. She will not speak to you because her ears don't work, right? They're never so obvious, but like when you see her, there's a shot of the ear and the audio cuts out, and you're like, "I got you."
Yeah.
And then they like sign with each other, but you know, it's just like it's just that she can't hear. Like it's not necessarily that there was an accident.
Yeah.
And in real life, I read that like she's fourth generation deaf. Like her parents, grandparents, and great grandparents were all deaf, so this is just like normal for her. And so, just even in the universe, it's also just normal. This is just life, and they don't make a big deal of it, and I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, it's good. It's good.
I forgot a lot of people that were on what I'll call Team Kong were in this movie. I was like, oh, hello, Mr. Skarsgård. Tarzan, the guy from Succession. I forgot you were in this movie.
Yeah.
And then even the credits are rolling at the beginning. It's like Isaac Gonzalez, and I was like, who are you? Oh, you're a girl that is just there to fill some plot convenience for some of the movie and then die like a chump.
Yep.
Also, her and everyone on that ship dying is entirely their fault. They could have just flown out, but they're like, no, shoot the monkey. And Kong is like, what are you doing? And he just squishes him.
Yeah. But, speaking of like actors that you're like, oh, you're in this? What's the guy from John Wick? Who plays the... I can't remember his name. No. He plays the guy at the concierge.
Oh, Sharon?
Sharon. Is that him? He died before the fourth one came out.
Yeah. Is he really in there?
Yeah. It was like in Hong Kong, and there was like a facility, and they were like talking about Godzilla or something, and then he just says a line. You're like, what? Hell, hi! And then I don't think he was in any other shot in the movie.
Must have looked away for that.
And it was like, what the heck? He's like, Godzilla's entering the city or something. And I'm like, what? What are you doing here? Which is,
those lines are the stupidest of these movies. Again, we'll get to something where I think it's a lot worse, but the idea of like, Godzilla's here. Yeah, I know. It's very obvious to everyone around here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you're looking at a thing and being like, oh, we're picking up something. It's like, Godzilla's here. And it's like news to us. It's like, no, every time you say that, we already know.
Yeah.
It feels very Transformers 4, where they're like, take out your guns and shoot at them. And then they hop out the car and TJ Miller's like, they're shooting at us. It's like, yes, thank you. We can see that.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, I love Adam Wingard's characterization of kaiju in these movies.
Sure.
I just think it's so fun, and they feel like characters, and the reason why that is because apparently he wrote the scripts with dialogue for the monsters.
Nice.
And then just, like, in the movie, obviously, they don't have dialogue, but, like, that's how he gets the story. I'm like, that's awesome. And I love, and it might be my favorite, Godzilla might be my favorite in these movies, in the entire MonsterVerse, like, just for his character.
Yeah.
Is that he's just a jerk. Like, he's just a big meanie. He doesn't really, because in the other ones, he's like, oh, he's the savior of humanity, you know what I'm saying? Which is, like, it's fine, you can have Godzilla be what you want it to be, right?
I also but think... also, that's a bit of a stretch, but go for it.
Yes, very much. Like, walking out of San Francisco, like, savior of humanity. I'm like, bro, you just destroyed the whole city.
Like, savior of Boston. I'm like, dude, he was so radioactive. Buildings were melting around him. I don't know how anyone's living in Boston for years after this.
Yeah.
But they are, I guess.
Yeah, but Godzilla's just going around, and he's just doing his thing. He doesn't really care. He's just destroying what he wants to destroy. Like, he gets in Hong Kong. He's swimming, you know what I'm saying? And then he jumps up right under the bridge and destroys it. I'm like, that was intentional. Like, you could have gone up anywhere, and you chose right under the bridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I love it. Also, I love Kong. Yeah. I love Godzilla. I love them both. They're awesome. They're just so cool. You know what I'm saying? I remember this movie being a little more, like, even in their fight. Like, I remember it being, like, you know, up for debate. Like, who won? Like, there's not a clear winner. But... so here, I'm just going to go through it. Is we have the fight in the sea, right? This is not a fair fight at all. Like,
yes, this is Godzilla being
Kong is drugged. He was tied down for half of the fight. And also, he's not a water. Like, he's not an aquatic.
He's not a water type Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's not a water type. Where Godzilla is, right? So obviously Godzilla's going to fight. But also, Kong is like, bro just woke up from, like, being drugged. He's like...
still got some sedation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, this fight was not fair at all. It's like, okay, whatever. We could give him that. You know what I'm saying? It's fine. But then they get to Hong Kong, and I love this so much, is that they're fighting, and Godzilla's just being a jerk. You know, Godzilla.
Yeah.
Kong was just minding his own business in Hollow Earth. This is the thing that doesn't make sense, because what they spin is, like, if Kong is in Godzilla's territory, then Godzilla's gonna come at Kong. Kong was in the Hollow Earth. He was fine. And Godzilla's like, get up here, dude. We're not done yet.
Also, I like that they have to go through, like, this weird portal to get into Hollow Earth. Godzilla just breathes a hole in through the middle of Hong Kong. And they're like, all right, time to climb out.
Yeah.
So, okay.
It's fine. But the fight in Hong Kong is, we'll call it the first round, which I think is so stupid, but it's okay. Is they're fighting, you know... Kong gets the upper hand, Godzilla gets the upper hand, whatnot, you know, just it's kind of like a back and forth thing. But most of the fight, Kong spends running away from Godzilla, like running around the buildings, while Godzilla's over here.
I'll tell you why. Because that loser he's like that guy playing Street Fighter that only uses one move that you can't get close enough. You're like, I want to do a real fight, just quit it.
Yeah, because he's a jerk, but I love it. And then they, you know, do the charge up. Okay, before I get to that, when I watched this for the first time, I just watched King Kong vs. Godzilla, which was sweet. And then he puts, like, the bottom of the axe in Godzilla's... That's my favorite,
like,
callback.
The tree.
From any of these movies. Yeah. That's my favorite, like, Easter egg there. That's beautiful. But they do, like, the charge up where Kong, like, you know,
the jumps. Big trailer shot.
Yeah, the trailer shot, yeah. And Godzilla jumps at him, and then they hit each other, like Thor hitting Captain America's shield kind of thing. And they both get knocked back. And then Kong gets up. And then, like, looks like Kong won this round. I'm like, okay, they're still fighting. What round? What are you talking about? And then Godzilla gets up immediately after that. I'm like, yeah, it's not done. It's like if it was a boxing match and someone gets punched and they hit the ground, like, all right, looks like you won. It's like, whoa, he's still getting up.
I also remembered, you know, they say, looks like Kong run round two. And so I guess using that language, I remember round three being a lot longer, not 2.5 minutes.
The round three is brutal because Kong gets the upper hand first, right?
Yeah.
I think that's round three, we'll call it, which is dumb. It's still round two, but that's fine. And he gets the upper hand, and Godzilla's like, oh, shoot, this ain't good. And then he, like, bites Kong, whips him around, and then just proceeds to just destroy him.
Stomp.
Nibbling at his toes, you know, slashing his chest, stomp him. And then Kong almost dies, and I'm like, yo, I thought this was way... I remember this being way more even. And then even, like, the fight with, like, okay, well, yeah, but Godzilla couldn't beat Mechagodzilla, but Kong could. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Godzilla was tired, you know how it is. Kong was also tired. But none of them could even beat Mechagodzilla on their own either. When they're tag teaming, Mechagodzilla stands no chance. Like, it's just Godzilla, he's getting thrown around, then Kong joins up, then they throw Mechagodzilla around, and then Godzilla gets down, and then Kong's almost gonna, like, oh shoot, this is it, I can't do anything. And then Godzilla's like, bro, I got you. And then they beat him. And first of all, okay, it's just, it's beautiful. I love the fight so much. And it's Tom Holkenborg's score in this fight is just so, so sick.
How do you feel about the character design of Mechagodzilla?
It's not the best.
I'll agree with that.
Like, I don't have a problem with it. It's not my favorite. It's probably my least favorite Mechagodzilla design, but it's fine.
I would have liked to maybe a better one.
I agree. Maybe a little more like
bulkier,
more like Jaeger looking kind of thing.
It looks like the skeleton of what should be inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, but it's cool. And then Kong submits because he's a wimp. What a loser.
I was trying to combine wimp and ape in my mind, but
wimp. I'm just kidding. I love Kong. Kong's awesome. But Kong's definitely like this in the next one too. But Kong's the heart of this movie.
Yeah.
And he's just like, this is our, because this is, it's a King Kong movie with Godzilla being a jerk in it. You know what I'm saying?
Because Kong can actually connect with people.
Or Godzilla's just like, I hate everyone. Yeah.
And you know what?
I'm for it.
The heart was so strong in Kong that they gave him his own show.
Yes.
On Netflix.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Okay.
I freaking hate it.
It's not very good, man.
It's pretty awful. And I'll tell you what. This is where I think the dialogue is the worst.
Yeah, it was.
Or they're like, there's a monster. Oh my goodness, the monster's coming towards us. Are we gonna... We should start running. We're running now! And I'm like, you need to shut up. Yeah. I probably could have done it in two nights, but in the second night, I was like, I need a break. I gotta go to bed.
I watched it over, like, the course of, like, a week, where I was just like...
That would have been nice.
Because I was also very busy with school, so when I'd had lunch, I'd, like, watch an episode or whatnot until I was done.
There's one good episode in this show.
Which episode?
Episode 7. Where it's not the normal humans that we're following,
but it's the backstory. Yeah,
I agree. How we connected with that girl and like, why the necklace means so much to him. And I'm like,
why isn't this a show?
Why is this the whole show? Even if the show was 8 different stories of like different civilizations that had settled on Skull Island.
That would have been way better. That would have been sick.
And how we interacted with
them.
That
would be cool. Like an anthology series. That would be sick.
Also, Kong's in like... 8 seconds of episode 3, I think, and then he's not in until like episode 5. And now I know the show is just called Skull Island.
Yeah.
So I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But also the title card has like a different symbol in between the words to reference a different creature. So what that kind of promises is like kind of a creature of the week type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they don't even commit to that entirely.
Yeah, not really.
And a lot of the time, that creature of the week is in the show for like 2 minutes. And it's like this... is not very good. Also, there's a big reveal where the one woman who's looking for the girl is like, I'm your mother. And I'm like,
yeah,
you guys have the exact same character model. Your hair is exactly the same. Your face is the same. We all already knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like, wow, this is...
Oh, and this was some rough animation. I found it actually hard to watch.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like, they'd be... quote unquote standing on the ground, but it looked like they're hovering a few inches up, or they'd run or swim, but the ground or water under or around them would move at a different pace than they were moving.
Yeah.
So it was not a very good looking show.
No, I absolutely agree.
And yeah, as much as I did kind of enjoy episode 7, that flashback, animation wasn't much better.
No. What'd you think about, like, animation when it comes to, like, the fight between him and the dude that looks like a guy from Gamera? Like, the squid monster?
Squid octopus with whatever convenient tentacles it needs for the moment.
Yeah. Like, what'd you think about the fight itself? Because that's, like, the big, like, this is it, guys.
And then he kills it 3 different times. And you know what? When he grabbed the boat from the first episode, and then, like, it was cut in half, and he, like, stabbed it in the skull.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting, because you're doing a callback to the beginning of the mm-hmm. show, it's all coming together, and that's how you take him out. Awesome. Cool. No, you just kind of, that, he cries about it for 2 minutes, and then gets back in the fight. So Kong has to, like, rip him in half, and then cause a tsunami. Oh, and then the show ends on a cliffhanger.
I thought it was a miniseries. And then it ends, and I'm like, what the heck?
with the girl in the real world. And I'm like, is she supposed to show up in, like, a movie or something? Because I don't want her to.
No, they, I think they want to do season 2.
Yeah, probably.
Do you think they're getting a season 2?
I don't know.
Who's to say, really? The general opinion about this was that it was alright.
Which is crazy.
They're like, yeah, it's pretty good.
I did read some, like, some positive reviews, and I'm like, hey, I'm happy for you, but we had very different experiences.
Yeah, it's just like,
and the thing is, nothing. Like, there's a show on Netflix that I've watched that was like a Jurassic World spinoff, Camp Cretaceous.
Yeah.
And these would feel about similar in tone, where it's kind of, you know, they didn't put all the effort into the animation, they gotta fight these different monsters, even though one of them is dinosaurs. But there was enough, like, noticeable, like, there's people on Jurassic World where it's like, look, we don't have a budget, but we want to make this work. And it felt like that was missing on this show. It felt like they're like, we gotta put something out. Well, you know what it feels like? It feels like they forgot that they were supposed to do this until, like, a month beforehand.
Mm.
And they really threw it together and put it out. And they're like, we planned this the whole time, guys.
I mean, it's possible. They announced it, and then, like, there was nothing until, like, a month before it came out. They're like, or, like, a couple weeks. So I was like, here's a trailer. And I'm like,
yeah. This show does not feel...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
like... I don't want to be so harsh, but I'm curious if anyone that worked on this would look back on it and be like, I am proud of this.
Yeah, I don't know. See, when they announced it, they were like, it's going to be people with the boat crash on an island, and then they're going to have to figure out the monsters and stuff. And I'm like, that's awesome. Because that's... They're doing, like, the Wanderer, which is the boat that was in Skull Island.
Yeah.
Right? That's so cool. Which is, like, a callback to the original movie, right? So I'm like, that's awesome. So we're basically like, all right, here's basically the Monsterverse's take on the original movie.
Yeah.
Which Skull Island already kind of was, but, like, kind of doing something more close to the story. And I'm like, that's sweet. Or more based on, like, the book of King Kong rather than the movie.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone thought. And then I started and I'm like, what the heck is this? Dang it. Yeah. And I didn't know when it took place for, like, all of it. And then I looked it up and I'm like, it takes place in the 90s. I'm like, why?
Oh, okay, cool.
Because she gets to the city at the end and I'm like, when is this? Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know.
I got nothing else to say.
Anywho, Monarch.
Monarch.
So I'm very curious to know what you think about Monarch. Because we haven't really talked about it because you haven't watched it. Until now.
Yes. I think it's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, not bad.
I quite enjoyed it. Not a complaint, but perhaps what I understood it to be, given, because I am subscribed to, like, Apple TV and YouTube, and so as they were releasing the episodes week by week, they would release them and call, like, episode 7 Godzilla, episode 8 Kong. And kind of my expectation going in was that we would be following Monarch in the past and in the present, dealing with, like, a monster each week and kind of seeing, like, how technology changed and their approach changed. That's not this show at all.
No.
And I was like, that's so strange that you would, like, advertise this show with the episode based on, like, a monster that was in it. Because the monsters are very small in this movie. Not in size. Yeah, in the show, sorry. But they're like, you don't spend a lot of time actually looking at monsters. And most of the time, it's just Godzilla.
Yeah.
He's in this show. For the amount of time spent on monsters, he's in this show quite a bit. Quite a bit more than I was anticipating.
Yes, but that said, he's barely in the show.
Yeah.
Although,
yeah, everyone else is in it a lot less.
Every time Godzilla's on screen, they, like, go all out, though. And they're like...
He looks really good.
He looks incredible. I'm like, wow. For like for a TV show especially, I'm like, I was not expecting like that level. It was when they said it was going to be a TV show, I was like, I wonder if Godzilla's not going to look as good. And I'm like, oh shoot, he actually looks great. But like every time he's on screen, like they just like use it to like the most of their abilities.
Yeah.
You know, like they're like, they don't hold back with Godzilla when he's on screen.
No.
And it's perfect. It's so good.
Some of the other monsters, I don't like as much. They were like, you know what would really make him look scary?
What?
More pointy teeth.
Yes.
And that's about 2/3 of the monsters in this show. It's a bat, but it has a lot of teeth. It's a pig, but it's got a lot of teeth, and they're really long. And I'm like, oh, okay. Whereas, like, they're looking at, like, a Skull Island, where every creature kind of felt like something else. And it was mm-hmm. all very different designs. And this is, like, it's an animal, but it's big, and it's slimy, and it has long, pointy teeth.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think you could have done a little bit better than that.
Yeah. So, for me with this show, is I'm like, part of the show is incredible.
Yeah.
Part of the show's fine. And a little part of it I really, really don't like at all. And that's just May. The character of May, she's the girl who
played Iris West.
Oh, she did.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I don't like her ever in the show. And every time she's like on screen, even if it's a good scene, I'm like, you're just there. And you say something, and I'm like, why do you have to speak right now? And the biggest thing is when she's like, it was me, I told them where we were or whatever, and then the other girl who's looking for her dad is like, I hate you so much, how could you betrayed us and you're dead to us. And then they're like, oh, she got captured. She's like, she's our friend, she's our family. And I'm like, nothing happened between now and then, you're just like complete 180'd it.
Yeah
But I don't know, she was just and it was episode 7, I think. Episode 6 was like purely pre-2014, like with and that's the one with
Kate?
No. Episode 6 was everything before 2014. Like, okay, there was no flash. Yes. There was no present, or technically it's all past timeline, but there was no, like, post-2014. It was all, like, them, like, Wyatt Russell. Say the Wyatt Russell timeline.
Yeah.
Right? It was that timeline and all of that, and, like, him trying to get Monarch refunded or whatever, and then they're, like, Godzilla's in Japan, that they found him there as he, like, pops up through the water and he goes there and everything. It's all that. I'm like, that's the best episode of the show. I was like, that episode was incredible. And then followed by episode 7 was entirely May, and I was like, I hate this episode so much. So yeah, I thought that one episode sucked. And it was like all the stuff like, hey guys, Apex. It's Apex, right? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. And I went, you're lucky I just watched the movie, because I wouldn't have known who you were talking to.
Yeah. But, all the stuff with Wyatt Russell I thought was the best of the entire MonsterVerse, if I'm going to be completely real. I was just like, I just thought it was all just really good. I was like, all the characters are interesting. Here's the funniest thing about this show. So I watched it weekly. And sometimes you watch something weekly, you forget, right? Sometimes you just forget a little detail. Well, the beginning, the opening is John Goodman, Bill Randa, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, terrible with names. I never knew that his name was Bill Randa. Watching Skull Island, right? And he's there, he does the videotape, whatever. I just forgot about that. And then we have Bill Randa in the past, and I never thought that they were the same character. Like, never once.
And you know what? To your defense, they look not very similar.
No, not even a little bit.
Trying to connect those dots, it's like, man, you really lost yourself in those 10 years, hey?
Yeah. But it was crazy, because I never once even was thinking about that. And I'm like, okay. And then it was about... When the timelines, like, met up, when he's like, Dad went crazy looking for monsters, and that's how he died or whatnot. And I was like, oh, so we just, like, get told what's happening. And the episode ended, and I went, wait a second. Hold up. And I went to IMDb Skull Island, like, Kong Skull Island, and I like, looked at the cast, and I'm like, John Goodman, Bill Randa. I'm like, oh, they're the same person! And it was, like, mind-blowing.
Let me tell you my side of the story, because as I'm watching it, I have IMDb up, like, looking at it, explaining to you. Not that I, Rick, inherently remember everyone's name. Like, when we talked about Skull Island, I said, you know, Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, Sam Jack, because I can't tell you their names.
I don't remember at all.
But I remembered Randa enough, and then she's like, I'm Kate Randa. And I went, how is this working here? Because clearly, like, they must. There's no way you're using the same last name in this show if you're not related to John Goodman. But I don't mean to be racist, but he's white and you're Japanese. And I'm curious about the connection there.
Yeah.
And then flashing back and then and kind of stuff, and it's trying to figure out, there's a lot of figuring out, like, how that connection
happens. Yeah, like how it will come into play or whatever.
And then the revelation being, like, essentially she's, like, his step-grandpa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, okay.
Yeah.
All in all, I think I had my ups and downs with both storylines. I didn't really love the love triangle stuff with the Wyatt-Russell storyline.
Mm-hmm.
In the past. And especially when it became obvious that, like, that's kind of what this is going to be for a little bit, I went, oh, no.
Mm.
Because really early on, they're like, oh, Keiko and Bill, you know, we're so in love. And Lee, you're right there with us. And I'm like, okay, cool, we have an understanding. And then we have to go back a little more to be like, how did she choose him over the other guy? And I went, oh, no.
Mm.
I think something that was really cool about this, and like just like stars aligned and everything, that you can have father and son play the same character in two different timelines. Wyatt Russell and Kurt Russell.
I love Kurt Russell on the show too.
They feel like the same character too.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could totally do the thing where it's just like, oh, we're father and son, we're playing the same character, but given the story is necessary, he acts this way in this timeline, and this way in this timeline, and mm-hmm. you're left to care, and just, he changed over time, right?
Yep.
But he feels like the same character, and I went, I like that. That's good. Also, Kate walked on screen at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Also, audience, I did just watch this, like, in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And she walked on, and I went, that's Anna Sawai, who's currently in the show Shogun, which is on Disney Plus right now, and she is phenomenal in that show. She also plays Han's daughter in F9, the Fast Saga.
Does she? Wow.
Yeah. This performance feels like the middle ground between those two performances. Not bashing her too bad for F9, it's not necessarily her fault.
That movie just sucks.
Yeah. She's really, really good in Shogun. And so I was just kind of happy to see her anytime she was on screen, which maybe helped me enjoy the present storyline a little bit more, which I did think was also just interesting enough to keep me interested.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the search for the dad, and oh, he's not really dead. Now we got to find out what he's doing. And I think that there was cool restraint too in not actually having them connect until right near the end of the show, because I think there's definitely a version where they connected like halfway through and then kind of were touch and go with their relationship for the second half of the show. And why did you leave? Well, I can't talk to you about that. And then he runs away and then comes back looking for their help type of thing. But I thought the restraint on that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Also, watching this after Godzilla versus Kong, where they're like, if we go into the Hollow Earth, like, we need these special vehicles, because at some point the gravity changes so strong that it'll snap you like a twig, and they go into all these reasons why we need the special vehicles to go in and out, and then in Monarch, they just fall into a hole. Perfectly fine. You don't even worry about it.
Yeah. The Hollow Earth is different in every single movie that it's in, pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that.
But it's
also like, I don't care.
In the finale, they go to Hollow Earth, and it's Wyatt or Kurt Russell laying on the ground, and the background's moving, and I went, I feel like this is filmed on the volume.
Yeah.
Which too many people I think use it as an insult. I think the volume could be used very well.
Mm-hmm.
But this felt like a projected background that was just moving. Possibly. I did appreciate that they acknowledged, like, being down here and like the radiation change, it affects your vision. And I was like, oh, you know what? I give you a little bit of a pass for acknowledging why things look a little strange.
Yeah. Godzilla's final fight was like very, very short, but also like,
what, you can't blow half an episode on that though.
Yeah, I get it. Like, for budget reasons, I understand all the reasons that they did that, but it was also like a very violent fight. Like, Godzilla was so aggressive in it. It was like, this is sick. And then it was over and I'm like, that was beautiful. For the split second I was there, but I loved it. What do you think about the opening? The opening is my favorite part of the show.
Which is?
Like the opening credits.
Oh.
Every time I was just like, I was just fine. Jamming to it every time. Every
week. Music was good. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
The visuals was good. I liked the concept of like, they'd have like two watches on the screen and one of them was really old and one of them was really new, split down the middle. I did skip it a couple times just to get through.
I didn't really notice most of the music until like it was like episode 8, and then I was like, what the heck, this is incredible. Yeah, that's good stuff. But yeah, I thought it wasn't bad.
How do you feel about this whole time dilation thing in Hollow Earth?
What are you talking about? Like he sits there.
Like that.
And then he comes back and it's like, it's been 84 years.
Yeah.
You know? Sure. Whatever. Do what you want, guys.
But then they don't do it.
We already discussed that the Hollow Earth is different and everything it's in. It's fine.
Yeah, but it felt strange that this came after Godzilla versus Kong. And it's like, but they weren't under there for a week. Right? They were under there for a couple hours, and they came up, and a couple hours had passed.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Maybe they fix it in the next season, which they definitely ramped up for another season, and I would definitely watch another one.
I would too, because it's part of the MonsterVerse, and I love the MonsterVerse. So,
yeah, I'm thinking that I would probably fine with it. I think they've probably done all that they can do in the past.
Yeah. Well, they met up in like episode 8 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they're like, never went back, so.
Yeah, if you went back now, you'd be fighting too much of stuff that you've already established.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep.
Unless you follow different characters, but don't necessarily want that.
Yeah,
I did enjoy the show. I thought it was quite
good. I think it would be interesting if Monarch Season 2 was about, like, the storm on Skull Island getting worse and everything, and them putting Kong in, like, the place in Godzilla vs. Kong and everything. Because it was pretty rainy there, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
This could be cool.
Right before King of the Monsters, right? When they come out?
Maybe.
2017? Or was King of the Monsters 2019?
2019.
Oh, so they got 2 years in.
Yeah,
that'll be season 3.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I liked it.
One last hurrah.
Yes.
Alright, Godzilla X Kong,
the new empire.
Now here's a question that I want to ask you.
Yes. What is the new empire?
No. This is a question that I haven't asked you before about anything we've talked about, but we had discussed kind of our expectations going in.
Yeah.
So now that we've seen it, what do you think that I thought about the movie?
I don't think you liked it.
I did like it.
You didn't?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Oh, thank gosh. I watched it and I'm like, I could just see Connor being like, no. No, wasn't it, guys? Look,
far from perfect.
I wasn't looking for perfect when I watched
someone
it.
Someone asked me today, like, oh, what's the plot of Godzilla X Kong? And I just threw two air punches. And they were
pretty
like,
much
that's it, and I went,
yep.
Yeah. That's all you need to know going
that's
in.
Really it. Okay.
I really like that they cut down significantly on human characters.
Adam, the director, Adam Wingard, he said, and he's like, we wanted to do more like monster perspective than human perspective.
I heard that too.
And I didn't believe it. I was like, sure, buddy. but you're still gonna. And then like the, it felt like this is not true. Like this is an inaccurate statement. I'm just saying what it felt like to me. Like it felt like every like 5 minutes of humans, we just have like 10 minutes of monsters. And I was like, sweet. That's completely inaccurate if you were to go and look at the. But that's what it. That's what the I felt. You know, while watching it.
There was a lot of moments where it's just Kong interacting with
Zuko, which I love so much.
And they're just like grunting at each other.
Yeah.
And you know what they're essentially getting at.
Yeah, exactly. So. This one is one where he's like, we wrote with dialogue for them in the script, and I'm just watching it. I'm just like trying to figure out what it is. I'm like, I love it. But you get it.
That being said, about the human characters, I would have not put Bernie in this movie.
No, I'm taking Bernie out.
When we talked about the DCEU, I made a point in when talking about Wonder Woman 1984, where when they brought Steve Trevor back, it felt like they put his name and put pilot on the board, and that's his character trait. He's a pilot, which was like something that they barely touched in the first movie, and then that's his whole character in the second one. I gotta fly, I'm a pilot.
Yeah.
In this one, it felt like they put like Bernie.
Bumbling
buffoon.
Yeah.
And he's like, he has to make every single joke in this movie that he can possibly find. Where it's like, he was silly in Godzilla vs. Kong, but he's also right about everything that he's talking about. And, like, there's some intelligence, but it's hidden behind kind of like a socially awkward frame. And, like, there's, like, some level of competence there that is completely gone here. And I was like, oh. And I thought that bringing in Dan Stevens, who I really liked in this movie.
Me too.
As
Me too.
Trapper.
He was great.
He could have done all the jokes and they would have landed better.
Yeah.
Or not all the jokes, but anywhere that there needed to be a joke, he could have done it and it would have been better.
Yeah. Because he was great.
I don't know what to call it. A moment in this movie that I...
Still no spoilers, right? Or...
Yeah, so okay. I will talk about that later.
Yeah, this one, like, no spoilers, but I'm feeling like late Showa Godzilla versus Megalon, like just like that complete absurdity of the monsters. Is it just that's the feeling I got while watching this movie,
especially which especially at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So awesome, but yeah, like in this movie, just like. Just the way we're watching it, the monsters and stuff, is I just, I felt like I was a child without any, like, rules in my mind of what a movie needs to be, or, like, what makes what makes a story. Okay, it's how's this exposition doing bad? Although, I mean, like, exposition in this movie was not amazing, but, like, it's fine. But I didn't really care. It felt like I was just, like, I just wanted to watch monsters fight, and, like, they made a really fun movie with that, and I was just, like, I just loved it, yeah.
And the fun is what does this movie.
Yes.
And again, there's that heart from Kong, which they do really well
They do.
And Kong has a lot of screen time in this movie.
Yes.
Like, it's definitely more his movie than Godzilla's.
Yeah.
And it works.
It does.
We're talking about cinematography earlier. The cinematography that they use in Hollow Earth is really good.
It is.
I really like it.
I agree.
There's a camera move where you, like, twist the camera, and you use it to, like, as a distortion of reality, because, like, if you twist your head, like, touch your ear to your shoulder, like, what you're looking at, your brain kind of, like, auto-levels it.
Are you talking about, like, the Dutch angle, or, like, are you talking about, like, when they completely flip the camera, or when it's, like, tilted?
Like, when the act of flipping the camera.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't mimic that with your sight.
Yeah.
Because your brain kind of levels it out as you turn your head. So it you just feel that kind of distortion as you watch it happen. And they do that a lot in Hollow Earth because it's bizarre and mystical.
Yeah.
And it just really sells that. Also because you have the ground on the bottom.
And the ground
and on top.
Yeah.
So the horizon is one way and then it's sideways. Now, you're upside down, but also the horizon is right again.
Yeah, it's great.
Really cool.
I also, again, no spoilers, but I loved what Tom Holkenborg did with the themes. Because he changed them a bit from the last one. But if they have, like, especially Kong's theme has more of like a mystical vibe to it. No, I was there for it.
Nice.
It was sweet. It was sweet. And he did stuff with other themes too, but I will talk about that when we get into spoilers. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also good needle drops. I enjoyed them.
I liked the songs. I felt some of them were strangely placed. Like it kind of felt a little bit like a like Cruella to me, where it's like we could use a song here, so we'll just. I've been listening to this song recently and throw it in.
Oh, I liked it. But yeah.
Yeah, there's like a. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple that I was like, I don't know how this really works here, but.
Yeah.
At least I didn't hate the songs themselves.
That's good.
You ready to go into spoilers?
Yep.
All right. Good movie.
Good movie.
Good movie.
Good movie.
There's a moment where they're walking through Skull Island, and the guy who plays the commissioner in the Batman goes, "Oh, I'm getting eaten alive. Like mosquitoes are biting him."
Yeah.
And I went, I wonder how you're going to die.
My favorite thing is in his death scene, right? Is that he's it's the classic. Like he's like yelling at everybody, you know what I'm saying? But he specifically, they're in a group. And he specifically moves away from them.
Yeah.
And it's the shot of, like, him and them. Like, there's a clear, like, space in between them.
Yeah.
And then the shot of him just, like, not looking behind him. He's, like, just clearly looking forward. And it's like, oh, yeah. Something's going to pop up behind him and eat him. And now. And it was really funny because I was with my sister. And she literally did that. And when she said now, it snapped out and ate him. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the final fight with... Okay, so I mentioned talking about my expectations. I didn't think so highly of this going in. I didn't think it was going to be that good. And I was also really annoyed. And it's not front and center in the trailers. But Shimu is in the trailers. And like if you see it a couple times, you're like, oh, there's a white Godzilla. Okay. And I wish that they hadn't put that in the trailer. In the same way that I wish they hadn't put Mechagodzilla in the Godzilla vs. Kong trailer. But also, I just see trailers too much, probably, so.
Probably.
But that final fight is pretty good.
It's so epic.
Well, the one thing, though, I didn't love this, but it was kind of that the stupidness outweighed the coolness for me. Is they do the big desktop wallpaper shot where where Scar King's on the back of Shimu and Kong's riding Godzilla and then they all jump and they're all gonna hit each other at the same time and it slows down and it's a really cool moment and then the pyramids touch and gravity shifts and no one hits each other and I went, why? Come on. Like that, it feels like that song, like a like big buildups with disappointing drops, and it keeps building and then barely drops. That's what it felt like. It's like, oh, here we go, and nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
I like your Letterboxd review, which is no matter who wins, Rio loses.
Yeah.
Wow, they demolished that scene.
Yeah, it's brutal. Like, there's no way they got out of those buildings. They're all dead.
Well, the thing is, dude, like, you got your good guys and bad guys, but then, like, Godzilla walks into, like, to fight one of them, and then turns around and his tail just mows down half of Rio, and you're like, okay.
I love, and this one, it's like, I think it's the same as, like, Godzilla vs. Kong. It's like, yeah, King Kong is like the center of this movie, and then here we have Godzilla, who's also adding to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Adam Wingard knew what we wanted. You know, he's like, Kong is the heart, right? And we're gonna have the scenes, and you're gonna like feel for the big guy. You know, you're gonna love him. You know what I'm saying? But people also love Godzilla, so every now and then we're just gonna be like, let's go back, see what Godzilla's up to. All right, now back to Kong, and then back to Godzilla. And I loved every single Godzilla was in a lot of this movie. Like, if you were to add up the screen time, probably, like, pretty low on, like,
yeah,
compared to other things. But, like, there's a lot of, like, sequences. And what I was scared about with the trailers is that they showed us
everything?
That I've seen everything. Like, not the extent of every Godzilla scene, but, like, every single sequence, there's a shot of it. Every single Godzilla sequence in the trailer.
It's like the fights in Shang-Chi.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, there was a lot more. He is so much faster in this movie. It's insane going from Godzilla 2014 to this movie. And you know what? I'm not going to complain about it because I love it. But there's a shot of him fighting like the crustacean crab guy in Rome.
Yeah.
And they body slam as he like full on run. And then he jumps on top of it. I was like, that's just perfect. Again, a callback to another Godzilla movie. And then there's another scene where he climbs up on like this cliff or whatever. And I'm like, yo, he better jump in the water. Because in one of the movies, he does like a full on like jump with his arms forward and everything. And, like cannonballs into the water. And I'm like, this is going to be perfect. And he does. And I'm like, you know what we want, Adam. And you just give it to us. Also,
there were a few moments that I found him too fast. And my issue with the speed is I think that it makes anyone look smaller. Because it's just the nature of, like, the bigger something is, like, the slower it'll move to our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you're a bit taller than me. For every 10 steps you take, I take 15, right? And there was that fight at the beginning, which was also just kind of like a... it felt like a training montage before like a boxing match where it's like, here's what our boy's been up to, getting ready for the big fight.
And I loved it.
So it's kind of like, whatever.
I loved every second of it.
And a lot of why my expectations weren't great going in is because I think that the worst that him going fast looks is when they land in Hollow Earth and he runs out of the crater. And I'm like, I don't like the way that looks. Like, he looks 10 feet tall to me in that scene. But then that issue is like resolved after it cut, for me at least. Like, I thought that the movements looked way better after that specific shot, and I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Well, I loved all of it.
Yeah,
I love Godzilla, and I saw Godzilla and I was happy. He fights like the water thing or whatever,
the squid that's a little bit different than the one from the end of Skull Island. It actually looks more like
it's dragon. More, yeah, more like a sea dragon or whatever. Yeah. It looks like. That was a little like, okay, so you wanted to do Manda, which is a Toho monster, but you didn't get the rights, so you just named it a different name. Because it literally like just switched the name and that's a Toho monster right there. Which was interesting. But it was so sick. What do you think about his design? Like his evolved
the
design?
The pink?
Yeah.
It's the same character.
I'm absolutely in love with the design. I think it's so epic.
I think people that get really upset about it need to calm down.
Yeah. Like, it's pink. Godzilla's woke now. And I'm like, first of all, it's a big monster. What the heck are you talking about? And second of all, this is not the first time Godzilla's been pink, my man. I don't know what to say.
I got nothing either.
Okay. Sorry, you go.
We may be talking about the same thing. I thought Mothra was about to show up a lot earlier in this movie than she did. They're going around and they find like the old Iwi temple and they walk up to what is like it looks exactly like the cocoon from King of the Monsters.
It does! I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the egg!
And then they're like, let's open it up. And I'm like, what? You're gonna birth her early? And they're like, oh, it's a secret passage that opens the stupidest thing, the subterranean realm. What?
It's the subterranean realm.
Because
the
Hollow
Earth is already a subterranean realm.
Inside the Hollow Earth, there's another Hollow Earth, which is protected by two spots where there's this membrane that's like 4 inches thick.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Also, I thought it was crazy because at that point I was like, you're not bringing Mothra in then, right? And when that first trailer came out, I sent you a picture because someone had predicted that in the empty space in the corner, Mothra was going to fly in. And I went, oh, baby. And you were like, oh, that'd be cool. And then, but like, I didn't get any hint that she was going to be in the movie from the advertising at all.
No.
So someone just like took a shot in the dark and totally nailed it.
Yeah, not that shot, but there was another trailer shot where it's like Kong and Godzilla like roaring in Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Mothra's literally there, and then they do that, and I'm like, I'm the happiest man alive right now, because Mothra's my favorite, and I'm like, they saw the thing, and I was with Hannah, my sister, and we were freaking out, right, when they got to the temple mm-hmm. with Mothra, and like the little dragonfly Mothra looking thing showed up, and I was like, so there's a thing, this fairy Mothra, which is like just that mini Mothra, and that shows up in, I think, Godzilla vs. Space Godzilla. So I thought that that's what that was, which I'm pretty sure that is what that was. But then they see the thing where we thought that was the egg, and I was like, actually, it's the passageway. And I was like on the fence. I'm like, is that a setup for a Mothra movie, or is Mothra going to be in this movie? Because I'm happy either way.
Yeah.
But I also want a Mothra movie, so make it happen, guys.
I think you have one more Godzilla Kong movie before a Mothra movie, but it would be cool.
I love a Mothra movie so much. Please. But anyway. Yeah, but, I love Mothra. It was sick.
Yeah. She has more to do in this movie than King of Monsters, where she kind of...
I love Godzilla showing up in, it was Kyra, right? That's where they fought?
Yeah, with the pyramids?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And Godzilla, fighting Kong again, and Kong is just so fed up. And when he's, like, repeatedly punching him in the face, I'm like, oh, that's personal. Like, that's... He, like, got ahead of himself there. He's like, oh, shoot. Gotta calm down. And I love that Mothra was the one that's like, guys, the heck are you doing? yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun.
I had a good time.
And I can't wait to go see it in IMAX tomorrow. That's going to be beautiful.
As of right now, the only movie that has made more money this year than GXK is Dune Part 2.
And that's not gonna... It's gonna remain that way.
So I'm gonna say that they're getting a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Adam wants to do a trilogy.
Yeah.
But I also appreciate that each one, like Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla X Kong, they both ended.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, let's come back and see what happens next.
Yeah.
And neither of them have post-credit scenes, too. Which I'm like, I respect that.
Yeah.
I'd like one. but I respect that you're like, if this is all I get, then I've done what I want to do.
Yeah. And even then, like, we're like, the Monstrous movies all have different feelings, right? They have different, like, tones and takes on it. Even this feels, like, pretty different from Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
You can see, like, the similarities and, like, the styles and whatnot of what he does.
Yeah.
But, like, they also feel like very different movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I think the actress who plays Gia did really good in this one again.
Yeah.
And they gave her a lot more to do.
Mm-hmm.
Solid job. Yeah. And what I think would be really, really cool is if she comes back to do the third one, and that's her entire acting career. It's just those three movies where she knocked it out of the park, especially for someone her age. And then just went, I'm going to take this money and go home.
Oh, I thought you were like, I hope they never hire her again. And I was like, I hope that after she does another one that she just never gets another job. And I was like, wow, okay. But no, okay.
In some ways, maybe I do, because a lot of people get chewed up and spit out by Hollywood. But...
Yeah.
And she seems nice.
Mm-hmm.
At least from the interviews that I see in the pre-shows before the movies.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say?
I don't know. I just can't think of anything. It's just a fun movie. Oh, they broke the rule. Mothra doesn't die. And I'm upset. Because Mothra has to die in pretty much every movie. But Mothra does.
Pretty
Mothra
much
dies. And then Mothra gets reincarnated. And then Mothra comes back in another movie. Mothra dies. Well,
this is Gold Mothra now.
Which was so beautiful.
Gothra.
That's not...
That would be Black Mothra.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah, had a lot of fun.
All right. We both knew this was coming. Ranking time.
You go first.
All right. Well, we'll see how many of these surprise you. At the bottom, probably my most controversial pick, I got Skull Island.
No.
The TV show.
It's not your top three?
I liked one episode, but I really suffered through the rest of it. At six, I have Godzilla vs. Kong.
Okay.
I would like to note that there is a gap between Skull Island and this. At five, I got Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
At four, midpoint, Godzilla X Kong, New Empire. At number three, I got Monarch.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I got Godzilla 2014. And at number one, I got Kong Skull Island.
So when I was watching them, I watched Skull Island and I went, shoot, is this my favorite? I don't know. And then I just continue to watch them and I love all of them. So honestly, my true ranking is Skull Island and then all of the MonsterVerse because I honestly just love all of it.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I just enjoy all the movies, you know what I'm saying? But since I have to rank it and I'm being cruel, very rudely forced to rank it.
I'm actually twisting your arm right now. The audience can't see it, but yeah. Pop your shoulder out of place if you don't do it.
I would like to say that my placement of Godzilla X Kong is, I have actually no idea right now, but I will place it for this ranking. But I'm very in, like, I don't know where it's going to go. And I'm going to watch it again and find out. But Skull Island, Godzilla vs. Kong, Monarch, then King of the Monsters. Listen, I think Monarch has a better story than King of the Monsters, but King of the Monsters is also only 2 hours, and, like, I get a lot of Godzilla action, and I love it, so it's up there. All right. And then Godzilla X Kong is either number 3 or number 1. I'm not sure, because I loved it so much. But after that, Skull Island and Godzilla 2014 are honestly tied for, like, I like them just as much as the other, so... Yeah, I don't like one more than the other.
Nice.
Yep.
It's cool, man.
It's very cool. Very, very cool.
Thank you for listening, listener. We hope you enjoyed. You know what? For the most part, this was fun to revisit. I will not watch Skull Island again. The TV show. Either. Come back in 2 weeks, where we'll be discussing the film company A24, some picks that we like, maybe some that we don't. We'll see if there's any.
Yep.
I'll let you know a little secret. Every time we watch a trailer or a movie and A24 pops up, I've made a habit of like moving my hands like I'm bowing to the A24 logo.
Yep.
Because I respect what they're doing.
Yep.
I will be back in 2 weeks to talk about definitely not every movie they've done because there's a lot. But the next movie, Civil War, is coming out. It's actually projected to be like their most successful movie that they've ever made in pre-sales alone. So
interesting.
That's very cool.
Looks very good. So we'll see.
I definitely agree. Mm-hmm. So come back in 2 weeks for that. And Luke, in the meantime, can you carry us over with the send-off?
Yeah, sure. Listen, I'm a little disappointed with the start of this episode. I think I could do better in my Godzilla scream. So I'll give it one final shot, and then we'll see you next time. All right, here we go.
Hey, thanks, Luke. And thank you, listener, for listening to this episode. We really do appreciate it. If you want to keep up with us and the show, please feel free to follow us on Twitter, or X, if you will, at Pod Screen Time to see some quick thoughts of ours regarding movies or shows. You can also follow us on Instagram, again, at Pod Screen Time, to see when our episodes drop and any extra visuals that we want to show off. You can also catch up with both of us individually on Letterboxd to catch our thoughts and reviews on the movies that we watch. You can find me at The Shininator, and you can find Luke at Shin Glassman. If you want to hear more of Luke, feel free to check out his other podcast, Toku Talk Radio, where he discusses tokusatsu and anime with his sister Hannah. And if you want even more of Luke, who can blame you? You can take yourself over to his YouTube channel, Shin Glassman, where you can watch his videos that range from reviews to tier lists. They really are a blast. Links to all these things are in the description of this episode, so head there to find those and stay connected with us. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again in the next episode.